Hello, everyone. Welcome to this week's episode of the Men Podcast. I'm Demi Wright. And if you haven't already, don't forget to check us out on Instagram at mem.cast for our weekly question of the week. This week, we have Dr. Rohi Shah, who's a orthopedic reg in the East Midlands. Hi, Rohi.
Hi, Demi. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us. So this week we have an interesting topic, and we're going to be discussing cellulitis versus necrotizing fasciitis. So my understanding is probably one of the most common questions that the orthopedic graduates get, and it's something to be good to be able to identify and to manage appropriately. So let's start. So Rohi, what is necrotizing fasciitis?
So necrotizing fasciitis is essentially a life-threatening soft tissue infection that spreads along the tissue planes quite rapidly. It's most commonly caused by an aggressive bacterial infection, but in rare cases can also be caused by fungal or even viral infections. And depending on the actual type of necrotizing fasciitis, mortality rates are really high, up to about 70%.
Okay. So it's really important for us to be able to identify that.
Absolutely.
Okay. And are there different types?
Yes, there are. So necrotizing fasciitis is classified into four main subtypes. What we commonly see is the type 1, which is the polymicrobial, and that usually is consistent of things such as Pseudomonas, bacteroids, E. coli, and these have very slow progression and there's sometimes a lot of diagnostic uncertainty. And these are the ones that you get confused with either severe or aggressive forms of cellulitis. The one we need to be aware of is the type 2, which is usually the monomicrobial, and this is your classical group A streptococcus. Patients who have type 2 necrotizing fasciitis are very, very unwell, and they have a very high mortality rate, which is almost up to 80%. And these are the patients that present with, you know, in shock, and they have things such as septococcal shock syndrome as well.
Right.
And you have two, sort of three and four, which are your, you know, your marine ones, and your type four is your fungal ones, which are less common and probably have to be placed in the context of the history with if you have a high suspicion for them.
Okay. So how common is it? Is it something that you come across frequently?
It's a common referral, and obviously it's important to differentiate between, you know, whether it's a severe cellulitis type picture versus necrotizing fasciitis, which does require surgical intervention. But on average, there are about 500 cases in the UK, and the incidence is about 0.5 per 100,000 in the population. So fairly common in the scheme of things.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So who typically gets necrotizing fasciitis?
So you have your risk factors, and it's usually people who are immunosuppressed, so people such who are your diabetics, your cancer patients. And then you're looking for patients who have actually had a source of infection introduced into their body. So either they're IVDUs, they've had previous abdominal perineal surgery, or anything that causes a skin breach. So it's important to, you know, look for any skin compromise to skin integrity, or look for a potential hematogenous spread as well.
Right. Okay. So we know how a cellulitis presents.
Yeah.
How does necrotizing fasciitis present, and how is it different from a typical cellulitis case? So you mentioned that the type 1 is actually quite difficult to distinguish from a typical cellulitis. What do you tend to look for, and what makes you lean towards necrotizing fasci versus cellulitis?
Okay, so the history is key, and the second thing is serial examinations. Typically, in the early period of necrotizing fasciitis, irrespective of the type, that's where the difficulty is in trying to differentiate between a cellulitis or a neck fasci, and therefore serial examination is the key to differentiate this. A cellulitis that is rapidly progressing in a patient who is getting unwell and their inflammatory markers are rising, those are the ones that you're worried about, and you need to examine them every half an hour or so.
Okay.
Sometimes with cellulitis, you get localized abscess with rapid progression. If there's no history of trauma, there's no skin breach, and it's localized to a single area, then cellulitis is more likely. But if you think that actually it's rapidly progressing, and they are in a lot of pain, and they've got, you know, they're hemodynamically unstable, low blood pressure, tachycardic, they've got fevers, chills, rigors, that's when you start to get concerned. As they progress, from the middle to the late stages, you know, you'll get more physical signs that are not present in cellulitis. So things such as skin blistering, or ischemic patches on the skin itself, or cutaneous gangrene, cause of concern.
Okay. So is it usual then to have those signs of shock even in the type 1?
It will be. So as they progress, pretty much all patients will have some form of severe inflammatory response. Usually the type 1s are the ones who have both. Again, you know, people look for something called, you know, they have gas gangrene, or they look for subcutaneous edema. They're usually sort of gas-producing organisms that will produce that. So not every patient will have, you know, on their imaging or the clinical findings, will they have gas underneath their skin. So again, it's just a clinical examination, putting the whole picture together to see whether they are progressing or not.
Okay, fine. Let's talk about the differentials. So when we have a patient, so yeah, let's say someone comes into Rhesus, they're sick, they have a fever, yeah, and we think the source is sepsis.
Yeah.
What do we need to be considering in terms of potentials for this patient as to what's causing it?
Yeah. So anyone, if I'm concerned about a patient and I'm not sure whether they have cellulitis, whether they're sort of early or mid or late necrotizing fasciitis, first thing I do, take a full history, examine them. Then the best thing to do after that is something called a sweep test, which I appreciate not everyone can do. But essentially what you're doing is you're putting a bit of local anesthetic and making an incision on the skin and going, putting your finger all the way down to the fascia. And the idea is you're trying to have a look and see what comes out. In cellulitis, yeah, it's called the sweep test. It's a very good test in terms of a diagnostic test as well.
Yeah.
If your finger goes all the way down to fascia and you realize that the fascia is actually, you know, is unhealthy, or there's a breach in the fascia, or you get dishwater fluid back, then it's more likely that these patients have necrotizing fasciitis and you have to go down the route of surgical intervention. If the fascia looks completely healthy, then actually you're going to treat them for a soft tissue infection, which is more likely to be a severe cellulitis more than anything else. And actually it's a fairly common test done by a lot of orthopedic surgeons and plastic surgeons to try and differentiate between the two in the case of a diagnostic uncertainty.
Right. Okay. That's interesting. I mean, being medics, probably refer to ortho for that. So, you know, before doing the sweep test, what would your management be prior to that?
So as with a lot of, you know, complex cases, you have to take an MBT approach. So, you know, you have to done the basic history examination, take all the relevant blood markers, because you always need a baseline. And again, as we mentioned, that people with neck fasc tend to deteriorate quite rapidly. Mm-hmm. So if their markers are going, you know, they're going off and they're rapidly deteriorating, then you have something to reference to. You want to take your blood cultures. You want to speak to your microbiologist to start on whatever your local antibiotic prophylaxis, broad spectrum antibiotics necessary is. And then if you think this is a genuine neck fasc that you need to take to theatre, then you're speaking to your anaesthetic team. You're speaking to the theatre team to prep them for theatre.
Mm-hmm.
If you think a patient is, generally speaking, neck fasc patients are unstable patients,
okay,
whereas patients with cellulitis tend to be a bit more stable overall.
Okay.
So you're looking at your patient cohort overall and making a decision based on that.
Okay. I mean, I think that's really interesting because I'm just trying to think, you know, I have had patients in the past that would have been in Rhesus that would have been in shock and we thought the skin was the source, but, you know, after having this talk, now I'm wondering, actually, should we have gotten ortho involved in those cases? Maybe, I don't know. So important thing to keep in mind if you do have patients coming in really unwell and you do think the source is sepsis, just think about necrotizing fasciitis and referring early.
There is something just to mention on that. We do actually have a scoring system for necrotizing fasciitis, which is a good thing. And again, in anyone that there's diagnostic uncertainty, it's called the LRI neck score.
Yeah.
And that's something we use as well to sort of classify and stratify patients whether they have or not. So it's part of your routine blood test. So, you know, you do a CRP, you do a white cell, you do a HB, you do a sodium, creatinine, and a glucose.
Yeah.
And based on those markers, whether they're up to a certain level, you get a score.
Yeah.
And if your score is actually higher than 6, the chances of you having necrotizing fasciitis is actually higher because your positive predictive value is 92%, which is quite high.
Yeah.
The only caveat to that is if you're a patient who is diabetic, then your numbers are going to be high anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a good way to exclude necrotizing fasciitis, but might not necessarily be the best way to say, you know, in certain cohorts that they actually will have it or not. But that's a useful indicator and sort of an objective way of assessing it as well.
Okay, so that's useful to know. And is there a role for CT scan of these patients?
The choice of investigation is probably an MRI scan for, at least it's superseded now, you know, by an MRI scan. And again, if you probably have time for an MRI scan, the chance of it being a necrotizing fasciitis is unlikely.
Yeah.
There might be some other potential source or an infection or a collection, but not necessarily a necrotizing fasciitis.
Okay.
And generally speaking, it's usually clinical diagnosis and people wouldn't wait for a scan. They'd rather take it to theatre, debride what you can, and then once they're stable. But if you're uncertain, again, similar, you know, if you're the early stages of a type 1, for example, and you think is this just a severe cellulitis, then actually an MRI scan is not a bad idea. I'd get an MRI scan if they're stable.
Mm-hmm. Fine. So from a medical point of view, we really just want to be referring to ortho early, and then you guys would decide whether it would be appropriate or not.
I think that's a fair statement, yeah.
Okay. So you talked about your kind of diagnostic approach to these guys. So what's your approach to managing these patients once you do suspect it could be necrotizing fasc?
Yeah. So if I think this patient has necrotizing fasciitis, I want to make sure, one, they're adequately resuscitated. So you've got your fluids, antibiotics. And then realistically, you have to take them to theatre. These are not patients, unfortunately, that can be managed medically despite the best of antibiotics. You have to take them to theatre. You have to debride all the necrotic tissue that's actually present there. And you have to go down to healthy bleeding tissue. And we have a sort of a criteria where we demarcate zones of infection that we use in theatre.
Okay.
But the key from a medical point of view is get into theatre early, debride early, reduce the infective load, and then hit them with antibiotics.
Okay.
And that's give you the best chance of actually...
And what's your antibiotic choice?
In our hospital, we use vancomycin. Again, it'll depend on... You start with broad spectrum, and then you can narrow it down once your surgical samples are been cultured.
Okay. Yeah. And does it change, your management change, depending on where it's affected? So, like, if it's in the abdomen or the perineum?
Good point. Yes, it does. So, again, this will probably vary from hospital to hospital, but orthopedics take all limbs. Abdomen, thorax, and perineum is usually general surgeon. So, again, you'll be, depending on where it is, you can refer accordingly.
Okay. All right. Well, I think that was really helpful, Rohi. Thank you. So I think the real take-home message for me is if you have someone with cellulitis who's really unwell, really shocked, just consider it and refer early to the TNO.
Yeah.
Start your antibiotics, but don't be afraid to call the friendly TNO surgeon.
We're quite friendly.
Okay. Well, thanks, Rohi.
No problem.
Thanks so much. And to our listeners, don't forget to join us on Instagram for our weekly question of the week. And if you do have any special requests, don't be afraid to get in touch. See you next time.